Racine at 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. More than 60 House Republicans are touring the southern border today to get a firsthand look at the migrant crisis. House Speaker Mike Johnson led the group.
It was estimated on our tour just a moment ago that if the Biden administration would reinstate just the Remain in Mexico policy, it could stem the flow by probably 70% or more. But he refuses to do it.
The State Department's responding to the deadly bombings in Iran today, where more than 100 people were killed. Spokesman Matthew Miller.
It's too early, at least for us, to be able to say what might have caused it.
But he says the U.S. was not involved. Meantime, the White House says it cannot confirm whether an Israeli strike killed the top Hamas leader in Beirut. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
I would just tell you that Al-Houri was a noted designated global terrorist. And if he is in fact dead, nobody should be shedding a tear over his loss.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat this morning. It was one of several state capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat today. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no let-up in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. For WMDX News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Almost a third of Dane County Board Supervisors will not seek re-election this spring. Yesterday was the deadline for people looking to run for office to submit their paperwork. Over half of all county supervisors will be running again in unopposed races. Two county districts will require a primary election on February 20th. Eight other county districts will see contested races on April 2nd. The Monona Police Department is facing scrutiny after three people were killed after a car chase Monday. Police say that a car failed to pull over for a traffic stop Monday night, and after a chase, police deployed spike strips and caused the car to crash, killing all three people inside. Monona Police engaged in over a dozen police chases last year. Their policy offers more leniency than other area police departments when it comes to deciding when to chase a fleeing suspect. The State Department of Criminal Investigations is investigating Monday's crash. And that's what you need to know. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, WMDX News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Badgers win over Iowa. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, Wisconsin beat the Iowa Hawkeyes 83-72 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers getting help from players off the bench, like Kamari McGee, with two rebounds, two assists, and a bucket. How much did it mean for Wisconsin? Max Klesmit.
Life. You know, you look at the stat sheet and you see three steals in the column. That's huge.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You know, for having 10 or 11 days off, I thought this was, you know, we responded to it. I thought we looked a little rusty early. Any win in this league is important.
NBA, after losing to the Pacers at home, the Bucks are now in Indianapolis to play the Pacers again tonight. Adrian Griffin on the loss Monday.
We had some really good defense possession. We just couldn't finish them off with a rebound. So that really, really hurt us. But we got it. Quick turnaround. We'll make our adjustments and watch the film and get ready.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Here it comes. The cold front is sweeping south through the state today, bringing patchy drizzle early, turning to scattered flurries and light scattered snow showers this afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, and temperatures crash tonight to the low 20s. But it brings plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. It's 35 degrees at our studios.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition, or as I'd like to call it, Dom, the Devil's Never Bomb Hump Day edition. Happier, happy hour. Welcome to it, man.
We never bomb. Great to be with you, Curdy. Happy, happy hour to us all.
Dom, while I can't wait, and I'm relishing the opportunity to talk about the porn star former chancellor of our fine alma mater, soon to be my son's alma mater as well. Congratulations to my youngest.
Yeah, well done.
Acceptance from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. It's a better college than when we went there.
Got a whole lot better once we left, Gertie.
It did. But before we get there, let's talk about Donald Trump and his appeal this afternoon to the U.S. Supreme Court, specifically his appeal of the 14th Amendment issue in Colorado, right? The Colorado Supreme Court had said he is disqualified from the ballot. But the problem is going to be this U.S. Supreme Court. They are going to get dragged kicking and screaming. And this is really about politics in a big way, or at least the MAGA are going to think it is, right? They don't need no stinking constitution. They just want Trump on the ballot. So, a little of the reporting at the Hill. Decisions kicking former President Trump off the ballot in two states, Colorado and Maine, are amping up the pressure on the Supreme Court to resolve questions about Trump's eligibility under the 14th Amendment. The Trump campaign appealed the Maine ruling Tuesday and is expected to do the same in Colorado. My understanding is they've done so, Dom, the latter of which especially puts the spotlight on the Supreme Court and its 6-3 conservative majority. Oh, they got a block, do they? Which includes three justices Trump nominated during his first term in the White House, and none of them are named Merrick Garland. The looming decisions for the Supreme Court risk thrusting the justices into a political spotlight at a fraught time for the nation's highest court, I'd say, which has already been forced to confront other matters implicating Trump in the future of the 2024 race. And the battle over Trump's criminal immunity is expected to soon return to the justices, and they've already agreed to weigh in on the scope of the obstruction charged used against Trump and hundreds of January 6th defendants. But the 14th Amendment issue could distinctively stand out. Legal experts long anticipated the patchwork of challenges would reach the Supreme Court, which has never squarely resolved the meaning of the 14th Amendment's insurrection ban, with many observers believing the justices will ultimately keep Trump's name off the ballot. Pardon me. Keep it on the ballot one way or another, Dom. They're going to get you. Some state courts toss lawsuits challenging Trump's primary ballot listing, kicking the can down the road to the general election. But the Colorado Supreme Court's extraordinary ruling knocking Trump off the ballot suddenly provided the justices in Washington with a major vehicle to resolve the weighty legal questions soon rather than closer to Election Day. Do you think they'll do it soon, Dom?
I think they will do it soon.
Now, the amendment... Yeah, I
mean, given the time frames of the ballots that have to get printed and sent out to, you know, people overseas and then to everyone else a few weeks after that, yeah, man, this time is certainly of the essence.
The amendment prohibits someone from holding any office under the United States if they engaged in insurrection after taking an oath to support the Constitution. Now, citing Trump's actions surrounding the January 6, 2021 Capitol attack, more than two dozen challenges to his ballot eligibility have been filed across the country. And in Colorado and Maine, the only states to rule Trump ineligible so far, his name will remain on the ballot while he appeals. Both states hold primaries on Super Tuesday, Dom. That's March 5th. That's the day after the January 6th trial is supposed to commence in D.C. The Chutkan trial, the Jack Smith, yeah, the Trump trial. And Dom, Trump has not yet appealed the Colorado decision. Again, I believe he did so today. We've seen reporting. Correct. The Colorado GOP's petition, meanwhile, already landed, urging the justices to take up the case with considerable speed. Here's a quote, Dom. For the first time in American history, a former president has been disqualified from the ballot. A political party has been denied the opportunity to put forward the presidential candidate of its choice. And the voters have been denied the ability to choose their chief executive through the electoral process. This unprecedented decision urgently merits the court's review. So what do you think?
I'm down, man. I can't wait to see this. I'd love to see how this actually, especially given, you know, the dynamic at the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, three of Trump's own justices on there, right? And according also to The Hill, he's apparently fairly concerned about those justices on the ballot ruling. Former President Trump attorney Alina Haba on Wednesday said the former president is concerned the U.S. Supreme Court justice may shy away from being pro-Trump and rule against him in regard to the recent decisions in Colorado and Maine that kicked him off the ballot. Haba said during an interview on Fox News that Trump relayed to her, "That's a concern he's voiced to me. He's voiced to everybody publicly, not privately. And I can tell you his concern is a valid one. You know, Republicans are conservative. They get nervous and they unfortunately sometimes shy away from being pro-Trump because they feel that even if the law is on our side, they are swayed much like the Democratic side, right? Question mark. So they're trying so hard to look neutral that sometimes they make the wrong call."
Is that again, what it is? In an effort to overly... Be overly neutral.
Yes. They're overcompensating for their conservatism. I think Roe v. Wade would like to have a conversation about that. I don't buy it. And I think, you know, I do think that he is kind of in a box here. I don't know how those justices could allow him to be on those ballots. If Colorado has the rules in their state and the states have the right to run their elections as they see fit in their separate, you know, constitutions, all the states, and that's what they've decided and Maine's decided. I don't know. And again, to the point, the Republicans in the Colorado appeal didn't say, well, Donald Trump never, you know, engaged in insurrection. What they're saying is that, well, we want him, even though he engaged in insurrection, we still want him on the ballot. But that's not how it works. You could want someone on the ballot that's, you know, 16 years old, 18 years old. They're not going to get there. You could want Arnold Schwarzenegger on the ballot, Elon Musk, not born U.S. citizens, man. They're not going to get there. He engaged in insurrection. It's prima facie, man. It's self-evident. We know it. I read you my little notes before. I'll do it again. This is how we know. And this is what the Supreme Court's going to have to decide. He called the mob. We'll be wild. And they came. He incited. Fight like hell. And they fought. They fumed. He said, go to the Capitol. I will go with you. And they went. And said nothing for over 3 hours while they ransacked the Capitol and beat the hell out of the police. Then he said, go home. They left and went home. It seems like, you know, they're doing his bidding. Call me crazy, but, you know, we were there, man. We were on the air that day. You can pull the tape, pull the sound. It's all evident. It's all right there in front of you. Doing nothing is an action. He sat there while the Thin Blue Line got their ass beat by his supporters.
But answer my question. Riddle me this, Riddler. Will the U.S. Supreme Court restore Trump to the ballot? Will they find an ends justify the means way of doing so? I mean, this is Trump's court. How could they not restore him to his prior glory on the ballot?
Already rule against him on some of these civil issues as well? I mean, again, how could he?
On the question of immunity, he's been shot down. E. Jean Carroll came up again today. No, you're not immune from civil forfeiture for sexually assaulting a woman.
But they could. They didn't have to go that way. They could have gone another way, and they voted that. They ruled that way. Now, is it possible? Sure. Is it likely? Perhaps. But I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how. Then if you're going to rule that Donald Trump can remain on the ballot and go against the state's constitutions and their own Supreme Court rulings, then you're going to have to articulate the formula. You know what I'm saying?
Conviction.
You got to identify.
No conviction. They get to set a standard. They set a standard. That's what courts do. The new standard is conviction. Standard hasn't been met. Trump's on the ballot. Boom. I could write that one in about 10 minutes. I could write the dissents as well. But,
and what would the dissent be?
Upholding the U.S. Constitution, trying the 14th Amendment clause, the reams of evidence being presented, at least in the public, and we've got to assume Jack Smith knows more than we know. But let's see what Lou from Cudahy knows. Lou, what do you think? U.S. Supreme Court, it's up to them now. Should Trump be restored to the ballot? Should your man be put back on the ballot in Colorado and Maine, sir?
Hi, Lou.
Yeah, because all those people who might vote for him are being disenfranchised. This is politics.
Are they being disenfranchised because of Donald Trump's actions, though? I mean, Lou, if I may, you're saying that they're being disenfranchised not because of the Colorado ruling, but because of Donald Trump's actions.
Socialists.
Yeah. Okay, I'm. You said your point. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. I got you on mute, so I'm going to say it slowly. You're saying that those voters are being disenfranchised. I'm saying that it was Trump's actions, and for 3.5 hours, lack of action, that caused Colorado and Maine to boot him from eligibility to be on that primary ballot. And this also for the primary. We still don't know about the generals yet. There could be other states that decide on that. Given those scenarios that I laid out, Lou, isn't it really Trump's responsibility for his actions that day?
And it's also disenfranchisement. Too bad. Hey, you know what? Tom, are you still there?
Yep, go ahead.
Tom, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Lou.
Oh, thank you. This is the collapse of the electoral system and done by people who hope to raid that system. And these activist judges in Colorado
If the electoral court is broken, should we go to a popular vote system,
this is
Lou?
Why people hate activist judges and activists anywhere.
Well, we'll see if we have an activist U.S. Supreme Court in regards, Lou, to Trump. But should we go by the popular vote? If the electoral system's broken, the solution's the popular vote then, right, Lou?
The system is being wrecked and being wrecked on purpose.
Could your guy ever win a popular vote, Lou? Could Trump win the popular vote?
Did he get convicted?
Did he win the popular vote, Lou? No, he won the Electoral College.
According to their legal filings today, Curdy, there's no evidence that Joe Biden won the election. Come back with us, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha. WRJN
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, taking your calls at 844-967-2789. Donald Trump appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court. Please, please put me back on the ballot in Colorado and Maine. Getting your thoughts on this topic today. Once again, 844-967-2789.
Don, we got some thoughts coming through on the text line as well. Wes from Milton says, I did see Peepaw standing there behind MAGA white Christian nationalist Mike Johnson, ignoring the migrants in the river. Now it was brought to our attention. We're not covering the real headlines. Where the Republicans want our attention is on the southern border. So I mentioned it briefly. Now, Speaker Johnson ignoring the migrants in the river. What a bunch of sorry-assed opportunist hacks. It would be one thing if they actually had some sort of plan other than close the border and drill, baby, drill. If they don't, what a bunch of shams. Another text here. Glad to see Van Orden made it back safely after negotiating for Middle East peace as a delegation of one. Can we leave that guy in 2024, please?
Please.
Please. What else here? Reminder, immunity was shot down with Paula Jones' suit of President Clinton, and Republicans helped her. They didn't argue he was immune. Did they? I don't think they did. 844-967-2789. Our pal Dana up in God's country notes, they just continually parrot the same things over and over. Every one of them, they say the same things every day, all day. Well, those are called the talking points. Here's one more. If Crudy's going to Iowa, maybe see if he can't get in touch with that teenage D's Nuts kid. You know, I met yeah. Brady Olson, I think his name was. I was very respectful.
He's got to be a teenager anymore, man. He's got to be like full on in his 20s by now.
I would hope he's nearing graduation from college or perhaps pursuing a, you know, career in the trades or politics or something. It'd be interesting to hear what happened after these last 8 years. Now that he can vote, who do he think looks good in 2024? And of course, the usual question regarding recreational cannabis legalization. DA listeners like this stuff. These nuts. I wonder what that kid's up to.
We got to find out, man.
We are going back. I am going back to Iowa. I think Dom's joining me. It's the For the Love of Democracy tour. And I'm going starting this January 6th, this Saturday. I'm going to go see Trump in Newton, Iowa. Next Wednesday, I'm going to be in Des Moines, Dom, staying the night. Going to party my ass off at the Marriott, the hotel bar there in the lobby. I'm looking for some loose lips. You understand? Only two Republicans are making it on the debate stage. Haley, Nikki. What do they call her? Bird brain now? Trump's trying to make a moniker stick.
Of the day is. Yep. Yep.
And Ron DeSantis. And the newest news, Haley has leapfrogged DeSantis in the national polling. He's number three. He's not going to make it out of Iowa, Dom. Now, he did exceed Scott Walker's frustration.
I was going to say, there's a prediction that went down, Crudy.
Longer Scott Walker never made than it 71 days, and he did make it to Iowa, seemingly, but he's not quite there yet.
And Donald Trump will not be showing up on the debate stage in Iowa, correct?
No, he will be doing a counter-programming Fox News town hall from Des Moines that
night. Donald Trump hasn't done one primary presidential debate.
He has not. He has not. 844-967-2789. Jeannie, top of the list from Eau Claire. Welcome back, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Dick, and you know what, Trump? He can't even go and face his competitors on the stage. Great, right, man. Oh, my gosh. And then I got to go, our candidate is a criminal, and we got to make up all the excuses we can to keep him on the ballot. So that's what I got to say, guys. And keep up the great work. I hate it when people bully you guys because you're outstanding. Keep up the great work. I love you. And I'm thankful for you. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jeannie.
Happy New Year to you as well.
If anyone's going to be bullying around here, it's me on you.
Come on, man. Bullying only works if you're bullied. That doesn't happen, man. We're just talking over here, man. There's no bullying going on.
You can kick sand in our face, but we'll beat your ass for it.
2, 7, 8, 9. Now, this is about the conversation. And, you know, I got thick skin, Jeannie. We'll be all right. Once again, 844-967.
Especially in the midriff. You're very thick through that part of your skin.
Yeah, especially after this holiday season. Joe from Madison, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joe.
I just wanted to counter some of the language that's being used that when some of the more conservative callers are calling in terms of talking about due process or disenfranchisement or disenfranchising the voters or saying that you have to have a conviction.
When did Lou start worrying about disenfranchised voters, Joe?
Yeah, kind of ironic in this state, isn't it? Geez, people are really worried. Yeah, there are a lot of other examples they could look at. But I would like to point out there is a great article out of all the weird places that I would have never expected. It's the Cato Institute, C-O-T-O or C-A-T-T-O. And if people will know, the Cato Institute is not known for being liberal. It is an extremely conservative organization. It has a title of a December 20 piece saying, agree with it or not, Colorado Supreme Court opinion disqualifying Trump is a triumph of judicial engagement. And it goes through what they put together in the 200 plus pages when they made their arguments about this Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. It's really important to understand that, you know, Trump was not, when you talk about due process, he got due process. He got 5 days of testimony where he could bring in whatever he wanted to say. He could counter arguments that are made. He had legal representation there in front of a judge, which is what happens in a civil case like this. He has not been criminally charged with insurrection by the Colorado courts there. He has, the question at large is he qualified to run for president under the 14th Amendment? And so what they're looking at, it's not as under punishment, there's no liability, it is simply, did he make the cut? And the answer is no, because he engaged in insurrection. Now, I had a question about how did they define insurrection? And apparently what this Cato article says is that they took, they basically decided it kind of, if you will, by the current standards within a dictionary definition. And they go through in this article and they describe his actions and how they meet the standard of insurrection. And why this is important is because we have said we don't want to have someone be a president who previously said they were going to uphold the Constitution and then goes ahead and trashes it. We've been quite clear about that. We don't want that. And I would also throw in there that he is not given anything worse than another guy who was a county commissioner in New Mexico, participated in January 6th. He had sworn an oath to the Constitution, and this guy, his first name is Goy, C-O-U-Y, last name Griffin, Otero County, New Mexico, and he basically went through the same kind of bench trial that Trump did, and guess what? They viewed that he had engaged in insurrection, and he had to step down from his position and couldn't be a commissioner because he had taken an oath, and he violated it with his actions on January 6th.
Joe, appreciate your argument. I would point out the Maine Secretary of State Bellows. The Republicans there are now moving forward with a full-blown impeachment. They want to remove her from office for the temerity of trying to uphold the U.S. Constitution. So that's their latest action. You know, vengeance will be theirs. You know, law and order style.
And great points, Joe, and I would encourage people. And I don't think Lou probably, and perhaps CJ and some of our other mega callers, actually read the Colorado ruling. They just don't like it that their guy's not on the ballot. For the Devil's Advocates, coming back with your calls, 844-967-2789.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More babies were born in Wisconsin in the year and a half no abortions were performed in the state. The IZA Institute of Labor Economics says Wisconsin's birth rate went up 2.5% while Planned Parenthood paused abortions. Abortions resumed after a Madison judge ruled that consensual abortions are legal in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's minimum wage remains at $7.25, while 22 other states raise their baseline pay this week. Economists say raising the minimum wage can actually be good for a business's bottom line.
There's actually a payoff that employers are receiving because while they've raised the wage, they're also reducing.
With a right hand chin.
This is the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Giannis spinning inside, couple head fakes. How about that facial?
Tonight, the Bucks take on the Indiana Pacers from Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis.
Giannis lobs up top to Lopez, and that is the third triple-double of the season for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Now, here's the radio host of the Bucks, Justin Garcia.
It is the start of a three-game road trip and the fifth and final regular season matchup between the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. Good evening, Bucks fans. I am Justin Garcia, joined as always by the voice of the Bucks, Dave Kane, as we get you set for another divisional showdown. And Dave, as we mentioned, if you weren't sick of seeing the Indiana Pacers by now, I think you've hit your fill once the game ends this evening.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I mean, right now I got to think the Bucks are sick of seeing the Pacers given the fact that they've taken three of the first four from them in a series that has traditionally been very much in favor of Milwaukee until this year, really. But, you know, it's only early January, but it just kind of feels like the Bucks could really use a win tonight to restore a little sense of order in the Central Division and in the Eastern Conference, for that matter. But Milwaukee had been sniffing a little bit of that potential ceiling after posting a record-setting, second-setting numbers, in particular on offense in December, on their way to the league's best record in that time. But second loss in 3 days and a fourth loss to Indiana in five games between these teams overall would, I think, be a real back-to-earth and back-to-reality kind of check for the Bucks, a Bucks team that's obviously trying to match those sky-high expectations around this team. So, yeah, tonight's game has a little bit of a different feel.
It does, and looking at this matchup for the Bucks versus the Pacers, a couple of things stand out. Number one, defensive rating, again, a small sample size when we're looking at four games, but the Bucks have a defensive rating of 119 in those four matchups, about 5 points worse than their season average. Pacers are a very good offense, so you can explain it there, but we've seen the Bucks offense struggle at times against the Pacers, and the way they've defended Damian Lillard, especially as this is the one team that stands out more than any team the Bucks have played so far that have really tried to pressure Damian Lillard and make him play off the ball more.
Yeah, and he talked about that, said he's still trying to adjust to finding his rhythm when the ball isn't in his hands as much. And the numbers bear it out. I mean, he shot 32%, and it's not a small sample size against Indiana. This is four games where from it's not from three-point range. That's 32% from the field in four games against these Pacers. So it was a tough pill to overcome, hurdle to overcome for the Bucks. The last time these teams played, when Dame was just 3 of 16 from the floor, 1 of 9 from 3, and they do rely on him, and you don't need him to be putting up 30 points every game, but you certainly want him to be giving a little bit more of a steady, at least you got to respect me kind of performance, and I don't think he ever got to a point where they didn't respect what he's capable of, but I do think it'll be interesting to see how he responds tonight. And, you know, that's sort of the fascinating part of this thing. Both coaches have likened this format to the playoffs after now seeing each other not only twice in 3 days, but, again, five times in the first 3 months of the season. Coach Griff said he loves this for his team to get them prepared for the real thing once the postseason arrives in spring. But after seeing the Pacers adjust the way they did to defending Giannis on Monday night, where there were a lot more double teams and triple teams, it'll be fascinating to see what types of adjustments are made this time around from both sides. And part of that, to your point, is Damian Lillard and how he fares tonight as he tries to get his game righted against this Pacers team. I wouldn't bet against him tonight, but time will tell.
Yeah, I certainly would not have bet against Damian Lillard, period. But the other area where the Bucks have really run into problems against the Pacers so far this season has been on the glass. And we've heard Adrian Griffin talk about this quite a bit before the previous game and all throughout the course of the season, but especially against these potent offenses like the Indiana Pacers, it's imperative that you do a better job on the defensive glass and not give the Pacers second chances. We saw second chance points really rise, and the Pacers with 10 offensive rebounds from their bench in that game just 2 days ago. The Bucks have not done a good job so far in this series defensively rebounding the basketball.
Well, and you could make the case all season. I mean, they're a bottom five team in points per game off of second chance points, 26th in the league coming into this thing, and it's been even worse against the Pacers here. And really, of late, the last nine games, the Bucks are dead last in the NBA in second chance points allowed per game. So it was really on display the last time these two teams played. The Pacers, through four games, are averaging close to 23 points per game on second chance.